Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social. A new policy on liquefied petroleum gas LPG is being worked out to solve the constant shortage of the commodity on the market. The policy is also aimed at alleviating the plight of consumers and make commercial users of the product pay the correct price. For the details, here's a report by parliamentary correspondent Stephen Kweye and Issa Shaibu.
The Minister of Energy, Dr. Joe Otin Ajay, stated this when he answered questions in Parliament. He regretted that despite the subsidy on kerosene, pre-mixed fuel and LPG, there is a constant shortage of LPG on the market. The minister also warned personnel of the Electricity Company of Ghana, ECG, not to inflate the approved price of 58 pesos for a single-phase meter to applicants. According to him, the three-phase meter cost 1.15 Ghana cedis. It is therefore unacceptable for any employee of ECG or the Northern Electricity Department to charge 30 Ghana cedis for the supply of a meter to an applicant. The member for Doma West, Kwaku Ajiman Manu, had alleged that residents of Nkrankwanta in the Doma municipality are being charged 30 Ghana cedis for installation of a meter without being issued receipts.
Correspondents Stephen Kweye and Issa Shaibu's report. The former Director General of the Ghana Health Service, Professor Ajiman Benoit Kosa, has called for education and advocacy on vendoring food. He believes it's the only way to check anybody from selling anything. Professor Kosa added that certification alone cannot solve the problem of vendoring food under unhygienic conditions.
It is because there are pairs of diseases and there are carriers of diseases that are transmitted through the hand to mouth. And people like that who are food vendors present a greater risk to the unsuspecting and innocent Ghanaian public. It is important that all such people must have thoroughly checked, made sure that they do not, by their very activity, cause any harm or risk to any individual of the general public before they can be allowed to do that work. And then we then take the platform for advocacy, where we are educating them on the need for good personal hygiene, we are educating them on the need for environmental sanitation, we are educating them regularly and constantly. That is the only way that anybody can go out, buy food, eat, knowing very well that you are nourishing yourself and you're not adding any further risk to yourself.
The Food and Drugs Board is pushing the agenda now together with the other district assemblies, as they mentioned. But we are asking, the campaign was on for some time, but have we been a little lethargic in taking the necessary action on the issue over the period?
The advocacy goes on, and there are very few people who are championing these things. And of course, they cannot be speaking on it every day of their life. So it gets to a stage where the advocacy goes down. But it is important that this is done and the advocacy increased and improved so that all the people who are involved in it would acquire the knowledge and do the right thing.
Former Director General of Ghana Health Service, Professor Ajiman Bedoa Kosa. The Food and Drugs Board, FDB, is working through district and metropolitan assemblies to ensure that food sold to the public is wholesome. A pilot program has started in the Accra Metropolitan Assembly to ensure that before a license is issued to food vendors, their health and sites for selling are inspected. Speaking to Kingsley Obinchere on Radio Ghana's Behind the News, the head of the Food Safety Department of the FDB, Mariah Lovelace Johnson, said there are programs to find out challenges facing vendors and address them.
At the moment, we are doing the pilot program and we'll finish by the middle of September. And that is when we'll take off in October.
What is involved in the pilot program?
We do the health certificates. That's the district assemblies give seafood vendors health certificate. But the health certificate issue is good and we need to improve upon it, because somebody can have typhoid fever today, tomorrow the person might not have it, or vice versa. And we found the need to inspect the preparation sites of the street food vendors as well as the vending site. Sometimes somebody will prepare the food in an unhygienic place and then place it somewhere very neat to the unassuming consumer. So before the district assemblies issue the license to the street food vendor, we would have ensured that they have the health certificate, their preparation site is clean, and their vending site is clean as well, as well as we'll look at the personal hygiene of the people preparing the food and the person even selling the food at the vending site.
So how regularly will you check?
It's a 6 month thing. And within 6 months, you know somebody could have typhoid fever within 6 months. It is about the person knowing about food safety. So the emphasis is not just on the health certificate.
That was the head of the Food Safety Department of the FDD, Mariah Lovelace Johnson. As part of plans to ensure industrial harmony between utility providers and stakeholders, the Public Utilities Regulatory Commission, PURC, has interacted with Imani Ghana, a policy and research think tank in Accra. The interaction was also to strengthen relations with other stakeholders, as well as shed more light into PURC's activities for better appreciation. The Director of Regulatory Economics and Research at PURC, Dr. Simon Akoli, noted that the Commission has adopted a critical approach in adjusting utility tariffs, taking into consideration the reliability of services rendered to consumers. He said PURC also takes cognizance of uncontrollable factors such as consumer price index, exchange rates, among others, to help minimize the impact of tariff adjustment. Dr. Akoli also shared some perspectives on problems affecting reliable service delivery.
Poor response time to customer complaints, lack of effective public education. If there is going to be planned power outage, it's very difficult to go and make announcements forcing the consuming public that between this time and this time, this wants to be going. General poor attitude of staff towards customer matters. Even if you travel from your home to the nearest ECG center to report your phone, it's very difficult to even respond to your complaints. There's poor quality of material. They are also raised issues saying that what is happening is that with the new procurement law, everything has to pass through procurement. And someone will come and put in a bid, which is very, very low. There is even an example where they said somebody came and put in a bid. The bid was even lower than the cost of the material for what they were supposed to supply. Then from the viewpoint of poor consumers, as people can take two treatments, almost within the bill. In Cote d'Ivoire, the very day you accept the bill, the chief program is to go and pay their bill. Because if you don't pay, the next 2 days is on you. You find yourself in the wrong cost. The Francophone countries, they have a high level of commitment to payment of their electricity and water bills.
For his part, the director of Imani Ghana, Franklin Kudu, advocated the need to privatize the utilities to ensure competition and value for money, as it is with the telecom industry. He also remarked that criticisms from think tanks are not born out of mischief, but are geared towards ensuring goodwill and efficiency in advancing development. The Electricity Company of Ghana, ECG, has descended heavily on the Tema Oil refinery toll in a move to collect electricity bills. Radio Ghana sources say toll was engulfed in darkness due to the power cuts by ECG. Yesterday afternoon, some of the workers on night duty who spoke to Radio Ghana on condition of anonymity said the generator plant at the refinery is undergoing repair works and therefore cannot be used. They said because they could not refine crude products last night for onward distribution today, it is likely to cause shortages in some parts of the country. Some of the workers who could not stay in the dark, according to our source, left for their homes. The coordinator of the Konedu campaign team, Nambo Berick, has attributed the heavy defeat of former First Lady at the NDC Congress to what he called persistent intimidation and persecution of sympathizers of the former First Lady by members of the Atta Mills campaign team. He said over 200 delegates of Nana Konedu Ajiman Rawlings were refused accreditation to cast their votes. Mr. Berick made the allegation at a news conference organized by the Konedu campaign team in Accra.
Nana Konedu Ajiman Rawlings stepped up to the challenge when no one within the leadership of the party was willing to and bold enough to do so. Their excuses were it is against the status quo, don't rock the boat, It is unconventional. Like Truth, standing all by herself, she stepped out in court. She challenged the leadership of the party and spoke out for the voiceless within our party.
She knew
the journey was not going to be easy. First came the slanderous statement, the impugning of her motives and integrity, the disrespect and sometimes outright contempt for her person and family. But like a true patriot and person of conviction, Nana Akunadu Ajimaroling stood on principle and spoke her mind of boldness. The NDC Electoral Committee was composed to achieve a lopsided viewpoint. The whole process was orchestrated and skewed in a way that prevented the contest from being free and fair. Throughout the process, it was clear that delegates were being coerced by inducement, the misuse of the fear factor, and threats to vote in a particular direction. I cannot comprehend. I just cannot comprehend. Our opponents have already begun to dismiss the charge of the fear factor for those who sat in the stands and participated in the process. Delegates and agents, it was actual and real. In the last 2 days, we have received direct reports from well over 200 delegates who were not granted accreditation to enter the Congress grounds and thus not allowed to exercise their franchise to vote. The adoption of tactics alien to the NDC, which includes the deliberate impoverishment of the people, was calculated to make them vulnerable and susceptible to manipulation. That's why this clear campaign of fear with severe, believing that, notwithstanding the negative tactics, the delegates would demonstrate a high level of courage and honor by making a choice based on facts and principles that are clear for all of us to see. Unfortunately, they have already been cowered into submission.
Mr. Berrick noted that the tacit admission by President Mills at the Congress to address the concerns of former First Lady is a vindication of Nana Akunadu's call for recognition of members at the grassroots.
The president has openly and publicly conceded that problems in fact exist. He took courage and willingness to speak the truth in the face of ostracism and victimization to exact the admission which came from His Excellency the President. This is the victory of her stance of courage. Let all who have our party's interest at heart take note. To those who believe in the cause, we salute your peace, salute your good name.
You heard campaign coordinator of Akunadu campaign team, Nambole Berrick. Meanwhile, a polling agent who represented the former First Lady in the Ashanti region at the NDC Congress, Sakuta Menga Itego, says despite the acrimony between Fonkar and Game, the two groups are willing to work together in the interest of the party. He said if President Mills is able to address the concerns of the Rawlingses as promised by him at the party Congress, there's no way the Rawlingses will desert the party. He spoke to Ibrahim Kwating.
They may have lost now, but the future will tell whether they have lost or they have won. For me, they have won. For me, in reality, they have won. Or we have won. The people have won.
Can you tell us that they will definitely be on board to campaign for the party?
For me, I think it all depends on President Mills and his team. How they are able to extend the only elite branch, how they are able to come down and recognize him, honor him as the leader of the party, and let him understand that election was not a measure of his popularity. Because we all know that the people that they put in the stadium were bad there. The real grassroots of our people who would have given the round welcome to the former president were not put in there. And the people who were seated in the stadium were sitting there with DCs, MCs, ministers, and they were specifically instructed to move or not to, as it were, give round to the former president. So maybe those who are listening and watching, they may be fools, but not us who were part of the system and knew what they did. So for us, the grassroots we have won. Even if another girl like Jamal Rawlings, the grassroots people who are now rich by 20 million, 30 million bags of rice, they would not have gotten it. They would not be hungry. So I expect the delegates to even be coming out and thanking Nana Akunadu like Jamal Rawlings for letting the people at the castle bring us all the money.
Fonkar polling agent Sakuta Menga Itego talking to Ibrahim Kwating. The news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Commercial courts in Accra and Kumasi directed to sit during this year's legal vacation. New policy on liquefied petroleum gas to curb frequent shortage of the commodity under consideration. Clashes in Cameroon between locals and a criminal gang leaves 5 dead and 60 injured. USAAA rating to drop if it defaults on debt obligations. And 3 simultaneous explosions in India kill 17 and hurt dozens. Do stay with us. We'll be right back. Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social. Welcome back. The Ghana Anti-Corruption Coalition, GACC, wants the media to make conscious efforts to effectively carry out the anti-corruption mandate. It says although there has been some improvement in covering anti-corruption stories, there's still room for improvement. The Deputy Executive Director for Media Foundation for West Africa, Sulemana Brahima, made the point in Accra when he presented a study on monitoring media reportage on transparency and accountability. Yvonne Atilego and Barbara Ayiku have filed this report.
The study sought to measure the performance of Ghanaian media in covering issues of transparency, accountability and corruption. It was also to identify shortfalls in media coverage on corruption issues and use the findings as the basis for further and better engagement with the media, with the few to training and empowering them to play their anti-corruption role more effectively. Mr. Brahima said although there was an improvement in the media's reportage of issues pertaining to corruption in 2009 and 2010, there were some shortfalls. Majority of corruption-related stories were straight news reports. Also, there was too much sensationalism as well as limited follow-up efforts to some stories which needed more clarification. Mr. Brahima called on media houses to follow up on issues reported earlier and highlight them.
The media maintained some level of sustained interest in covering corruption-related issues. One would think that if it's a radio program, it couldn't be a lie. Maybe the person said it. But do we follow up to see what the bosses of this man would do or what actions would be taken? There was nothing like that. Then ethically inappropriate headlines. For example, a headline that says Rose Bill Bright. What it connotes is that somebody has given either money or whatever it is, and the police commander has accepted it. Where a story is not a straight news, we have a problem with transition from one paragraph to the other. And then single sourcing. Most of our stories, again, because it is straight news reports, the best we do is maybe to mention her name in the next paragraph and her title in the following paragraph. Then we go back to she reiterated.
The Deputy Executive Director reminded journalists that in reporting such issues, there are provisions in the 1992 Constitution which protects them in case of influence or intimidation.
When we talk about the media's role in fighting corruption, we are only looking out for the negative things to report. But it's also important to look for acts that are worthy of praise and worthy of emulation and reporting on them. In saying that the media has these roles to play, it is important to point out that we also have the constitutional guarantee to do those things that I'm saying we are supposed to be doing. And if you read the 1992 Constitution, there are elaborate provisions that offer protection for the media and guarantees our independence and protects us from all manner of influences, interference and controls, as well as intimidation.
Mr. Brahima called on the GJA to encourage its members to resist corruption and introduce proper mechanisms to ensure that the media are not exposed to corruption. The chairperson of the Editors Forum, Ajua Yeboa Afari, called on journalists to pursue issues and not leave them halfway through. Journalists should also arm themselves with information which will help them write good stories.
Yvonne Atilego and Barbara Iku's report. Experts have described urbanization as a major threat to national development, as more than half of Ghana's population lives in urban areas. What's more dangerous is that about 51% of migrants live in slums and under deplorable conditions. In response, the Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development, in collaboration with Cities Alliance, has organized an urban forum in Accra to raise awareness and stimulate action to address the challenges of urbanization, such as poor planning and development control. The Sector Minister, Samuel Ufuso-Ampofu, said the forum will create a platform for dialogue between policymakers, implementers and development partners. Here's a report by Naja Gleago and Maxwell Herme.
Mr. Ufuso-Ampofu said, with challenges such as weak enforcement of laws, lack of effective citizenry participation and poor environmental sanitation and slum settlements, the forum will seek to reiterate effective decentralization of towns and cities. It said government has approved a four-year action plan under the revised decentralization policy, which aims at deepening local governance for sustainable development. The Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development has also developed an operational guidelines for street naming and property addressing system for Ghana. Mr. Ofosu-Ampofo said other projects include the upcoming World Bank Local Government Capacity Support Project, which will be implemented in all 46 metropolitan and municipal assemblies. The minister called on metropolitan, municipal and district assemblies to use their mandates as planning authorities to ensure proper planning to improve the living standards of the people.
Najagle Ago and Maxwell Hehemeku's report. The Deputy Minister of Transport, Jifa Tivo, has presented mattresses and mosquito nets worth 2,000 Ghana cedis to the Suhum Baptist Complex, an orphanage. Mrs. Ativo made the donation on behalf of her NGO, the Dev Fund, which operates in the Volta region. Presenting the items, Mrs. Ativo said it's a widow's mite to put a smile on the faces of the needy in society. She said the NGO is committed to helping brilliant but needy students and cured lepers. The deputy minister called on Ghanaians to stop stigmatizing cured lepers, since their survival depends on how society relates to them. She also donated 2,000 Ghana cedis to a deaf and dumb lady she met during a program in Accra to start a business. Reports from Cameroon say clashes between locals and a criminal gang in Douala have left 5 dead and about 60 injured. The violence broke out on Friday when residents carried out the lynching of a car thief whose armed associates returned days later for reprisal attacks. Police arrested 10 assailants while others fled. During the gang's counterattack, about 60 were injured and a young man was cut up by the bandits using machetes. Lynchings are frequent in Douala, Cameroon's economic capital, where the phenomenon of rounding up thieves who have escaped punishment is labeled popular justice among residents. Moody's, a rating agency, says it may cut the U.S. AAA debt rating, citing the rising possibility that the U.S. will default on its debt obligation. The review of the U.S. government's bond rating is prompted by the possibility that the debt limits will not be raised in time to prevent a missed payment of interest or principal on outstanding bonds and notes. The agency warned the likelihood that the U.S. will fail to raise its statutory debt limit in time to avert default. This came as the fourth day of cross-party talks in Washington on the debt limit were said to have ended stormily. President Obama needs both Republicans and Democrats to sign a deal to close the U.S. deficit while allowing Washington to borrow past a second August deadline. Prosecution in the trial of 44-year-old Aja Semenshia, CEO of the Semenshia Herbal Clinic at Kaswa, has amended charges leveled against Madame Semenshia. She now faces a count each of control of manufacture of drugs, prohibited sale of drugs, registration of homeopathic drugs, and prohibited advertisements. She, however, pleaded not guilty to all counts. Presiding judge of the circuit court in Accra trying Madame Semenshia, Mr. Justice Eric Che Bafuo, admitted the accused to a 20,000 Ghana cedi bill. Presenting the fact, ASP Cletus Abadam Laura said the substitution of the charge sheet had become necessary due to the addition of a charge and a second accused person to the offense. ASP Abadam Laura prayed the court to proceed with the case, but since the court was unaware of the second accused, had knowledge of the charge against him, the case was adjourned to August 11 next month. Stephen Aku has been charged with obstruction of an authorized officer. The news continues after the break.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
Agatha Samoa is here with editorials of the papers.
The Daily Graphic welcomes the steps taken by government to acquire loan to keep the Ghana Air Force. The paper says investing in military accoutrement and establishment is not a misplaced priority, as suggested by critics. This is because personnel of the Ghana Armed Forces do not only safeguard the country against external aggression, but also support internal developments. The graphic notes that the logistical support will enable the Air Force to play its role effectively. The paper therefore calls on Parliament to expedite action on the loan agreement to help government to carry out its objectives in re-equipping the Ghana Air Force. And that ends editorial of the Daily Graphic.
To end the news, the main points again. The Chief Justice, Justice Georgina Theodora Wood, has directed commercial courts in Accra and Kumasi to sit during this year's vacation. A statement signed by the Judicial Secretary, Alex Pukwe Champon, says the Chief Justice took the decision following requests from the business community. And a new policy on liquefied petroleum gas, LPG, is being developed to address the constant shortage of the commodity on the market. The news was presented by Mercy Sowah in Accra.